Lopez.
The Trump administration would like to have the measure put in place while the details of the ban itself are being litigated. If the Supreme Court grants that request, the ban would be implemented within 72 hours. The ban is currently blocked by lower courts.
Rulings are also expected from the justices on how much public funding can go to churches and also whether immigrants detained for more than 6 months can request release while their cases move through the system. There's also speculation that 80-year-old Justice Anthony Kennedy, who's often a swing vote in some key high court rulings, will today announce his retirement. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is John Taffer from Bar Rescue. I've worked with over 1,000 restaurants, so I know firsthand what it's like to need extra funding to buy equipment or to manage cash flow gaps. I even had to sell ownership in a restaurant because I didn't have the capital I needed at the time. With Cabbage, you don't have to be in that position. Cabbage offers lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online, and you'll get a decision right away. I signed up in a few simple steps and had funding in minutes. Since Cabbage is a line of credit, you can take the exact amount you need when you need it. You never have to reapply to take additional loans, and you'll only pay for the funds you use. Cabbage has helped more than 100,000 businesses from every industry with over $3 billion in funding. Cabbage is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and was named the Forbes Top 100 Company twice.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump today demanding an investigation into whether his campaign was infiltrated or surveilled for political purposes by the FBI or the Department of Justice. The president tweeted yesterday that he would be making such a direction to the DOJ today to look into such allegations. He wants to find out if any such demands or requests were made by people within the Obama administration. In remarks to the Heritage Foundation just minutes ago, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said instead of Iranian citizens getting any benefits, the Iranian government took money it received through the nuclear deal to fund terrorism across the Middle East.
Fueling proxy wars across the Middle East and lining the pockets of Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Hezbollah, Hamas.
Pompeo warning of more sanctions if Iran doesn't change course. And this is USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Hey, Pat. You know, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Outside our studio is 72 right now. I'll be near 79 today. Tonight, increasing clouds, low around 56. Slight chance of showers on Tuesday morning. Maybe a thunderstorm a little bit. Tuesday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers in the morning. Otherwise, sunny and a high near 79. Cloudy on the overnight Wednesday, low in the 50s. Sunny again on Thursday, high in the upper 70s. Back again in the 50s Thursday night, up to the 80s. So it looks like summer's on its way here, at least in the north, the northeast. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hey, welcome to Chef Bill's Table here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com, WHCR DB, coming to you live on Monday and thereafter after in the archives. I've got a guest with us today, been promising you for a couple of weeks, Pinercio from Black River Spice and Tea Company in Old Wick, New Jersey. Pete's been on before and always has something interesting to bring us in the world of dried herbs and spices. This company does rubs and custom blends, and I know Pete's emphasized before that even though spices are dried, they still need to be fresh. Right, Pete?
That's right, Bill. Thanks for having me.
And we're coming up on the grilling season, as they say in the Chicago there at the Mercantile Exchange. And so definitely be thinking about spice rubs and blends. We're going to look at black pepper today. I know we've discussed it before, but Pete actually brought some by to taste. So we'll do it kind of like a wine tasting. We'll need some dairy to clear out the heat. That's really the only thing that kills the heat with either the black pepper or the, not to be confused with the chilies, the capsaicin. Also dairy will help, or anything fatty will help spread it around. Probably that's why it's good as a universal seasoning, right, Pete? Black pepper's kind of
it is the single biggest seasoning next to chili pepper.
Salt and pepper always together. And there was I missed that Food Factor fiction. There was something the other day, and I end up watching, and I knew it was coming up, why they go together. And probably early on, I mean, pepper was, you know, to kind of hide the quality of maybe some gamey meat.
Yeah, pepper does have that strong taste. Salt is sort of like MSG. It doesn't itself have a flavor unless you eat a lot of it, but it will help in small amounts enhance the flavor of the food,
right? Yeah.
That you're eating.
And aren't there, I guess, it'd be, so chili peppers, we have the capsaicin, and they can isolate that as an oil, but there's oils in black pepper also, I guess. That's what gives it the
piperine.
Heat. Piperine. So that's where the heat comes from.
Yeah, the capsaicin is the chili's hot component, and piperine is that for black pepper. Well, actually for all white, green, red pepper, and some of the pepper substitutes have piperine in them.
The grains of paradise, is that similar?
It's
there's
different.
There's some other kind of substance in there that's kind of...
Yeah, it has piperine in it. Some of them, like long pepper, also has piperine. Long pepper is actually hotter than regular black pepper.
Yeah, the long pepper was actually used first, right?
The black pepper was introduced to Europe when Marco Polo came back from the Far East, and
right.
he brought spices.
Mm-hmm.
And then people just, the demand went up, and so they created a travel route from Europe to China and India called the Silk Road.
Yes, sir.
And that was in big use for several, a couple, I guess it maybe 100 or 200 years, and eventually, the Byzantines, which occupied Turkey, they were overthrown by the Ottomans. And the Ottomans were noticing that these Europeans are walking through their country, and
right.
they decided to erect a toll booth.
Sure.
So
that's
when
the
first
thing you do, right?
That's right. So when they did that, the price of pepper shot through the roof. And so there were two things the Europeans could do. One is to find another way to India and China. That's Columbus, Vasco
right.
da Gama, all those guys. And the other thing you could do is find a substitute. And that brings up things like cubeb pepper, long pepper, grains of paradise.
That's from Africa, right, the grains of paradise?
Yeah, from Ghana.
And I was reading up on that, and apparently that, like, it's got other like citrus, some other overtones, similar cardamom.
Cardamom is the big one. You'll notice that there might be a little bit of nutmeg in there, just a touch.
Yeah,
but
a little more of a
cardamom
spice
is
thing,
the
right?
Yeah, it's more like the sweet spices. So it's actually underused. I think a lot of people would be what's done with some people is they'll take a pepper grinder and throw in their black peppercorns, but they'll also have grains of paradise mixed in there, and you kind of get a more flavorful pepper.
Right, and a lot of it's the aroma, obviously. I mean, I know you're an advocate of freshly ground and don't
Absolutely.
Have it hanging around. They do say, though, that because pepper's so widely used, that that's the one thing in our spice cabinet that really doesn't tend to get too old.
Well, it will get old. If you grind it, the corns are good for about 2 years.
Okay.
But ground anything, after about 3 months, it's going to start losing its, excuse the pun, ginger.
If you can't remember when you bought it, throw it out.
That's right.
You know, once a year, you bring out the stuff for your fall baking, and then you put it all back. I've found that pepper, freshly ground, we always had it. I used to collect pepper mills. I mean, I have them, you know, I've had
my wife
big
too.
Ones and marble and wood, but the best is my wife found a little tiny one that felt in a little leather holder for traveling. Held maybe a dozen peppercorns. Right? What happened once with my older son, my wife, they were out at some place, you know, just having a, you know, burger or something, and we had never had pepper shakers on the table. You know, and my son always saw us twisting the top to get pepper. So he reaches the table, reaches the pepper shaker, and starts trying to, of course, he's tightening it. He's trying to twist the top, and says, "Mommy, this doesn't work." And the poor kid, all he knew was fresh ground pepper. So we got this little one to bring
spoiled
on the road. Yeah, well, yeah, good palate, though. But yeah, but the peppercorns, I've had those mixes where you have green and white and pink.
Yeah, they call that melange. It's white, green, pink, and black.
They say the pink ones are a little soft. You got to mix them with other stuff anyway. You can't just grind them by themselves.
You can't, right? Right. They are soft. Yes,
right.
And actually, they're not part of the pepper family. Piper nigrum is the actual plant that grows pepper. Black pepper it comes from there. White pepper, green pepper, and red pepper comes from there. But
red
pink
pepper
is not.
And people now that's actually the mature peppercorn before it's dried and turned
that's right.
black.
That's
so
right.
The green is the unripe.
That's right.
Berry.
Mm-hmm.
Then the red is actually the ripe one.
That's right.
And then you dry it, and it becomes the black.
The black. What you do is you pick it right
before
brown.
It's actually brown. We call it black. It's technically brown. I don't know.
Yeah, it's brown. yeah, I guess maybe a little black. The basically black pepper is made by picking the. The peppercorns just before they, well, as they begin to start ripening. And then what you do is you heat them up like in a boil for a very short period, okay. And then you you filter away the water, and you dry them in the sun. And the idea of the heating up, what it does is it ruptures the cell walls in the outer membrane of the black pepper, and those it leaks out an enzyme, which is a browning enzyme. And then it starts to brown the outer wall of the pepper. The inside is pure white, but the outer wall of black pepper turns
black. So that's the white pepper. The ground white pepper is the inside.
White pepper is...
And you have white pepper corns there, too, I see.
Oh, we've got black pepper. We've got white pepper. We've got red pepper. We've got green pepper. We've got pink pepper corns. And we've got about four different kinds of pepper substitutes that the Europeans... worked with while the Ottomans had blocked the toll the way through the Silk Road. So we'll try. We'll see what we get to. But out of the non-pepper types of pepper that we have, I have cubeb, I've got grains of paradise, I've got long pepper, and I've got Sichuan peppercorn.
Yes, and those aren't. That's not from. None of those are from the same family. So the pink peppercorns. Back in the 80s, there was a thing. I guess the FDA banned them from coming into the country.
Yeah, they seem to carry some kind of a I can't remember exactly what it was, but it impacted citrus trees. So they it was banned for a while, but I believe in the late 70s or early 80s, I'm not sure exactly, they were reallowed so long as before their exported to the U.S. that they're heat treated to kill any of the virulent.
Well, I know somebody, one of my colleagues, got a little trouble with Carol Walter in a Great Cakes book. Apparently, there in the 80s, early 80s, that those were with the new restaurants and everything. It was one of those little darlings, like kiwis and avocados, and all that. We always just discovered this stuff. But there was people with anaphylactic shock, things like that. There was something. Happening with them.
Pink, what people don't know about pink peppercorn is that it's part of the cashew family.
Cashews, that's right. So it's like
and
nut allergies.
So it's a tree nut.
Yeah.
And anyone who has tree nut allergies shouldn't be eating pink peppercorn.
Yeah, of course, you're calling it. That's the hidden thing that, that's why I guess, accuracy in naming things is good. We've got to stop for a couple of breaks here, or one break. Short one. We'll be back with Pete and get in more about the our universal spice, black pepper.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we're back at Chef Bill's table here at WHCRDB Radio on the internet with Pete Nercio from Black River Spice and Tea Company. And we're going to start, I guess, tasting some black pepper pretty soon. Ready to heat up here. Well, there are dishes. Let's see. What do I have here? That also pepper is rich in mineral salts also. As part of the component, I mean,
yeah, generally the spices are not known for the nutritional value,
right?
There's going to be small amounts of vitamin A, vitamin C, and in pepper, and there's also maybe some potassium, probably.
Right, potassium. That's the one. Okay, yeah, and that, you know, might be why salt and pepper go together, right?
Yeah,
it's kind of what we do. they say, you know, like some people rant about why is black pepper? There's so many other things out there, but it's pleasant heat, you know. It's and very predictable. There's not levels of heat like there are in chilies, are there?
Yeah, there is some. You're gonna find out.
Okay.
So let me tell you what we're gonna do here.
All right.
I have five different types of black pepper, and we're gonna try them in order of let's say their renown. The first one that we're going to try is probably what most people consider to be the least desirable black pepper, and that's from Brazil.
Okay.
So what I'm going to ask you to do is to take the peppercorn I gave you, put it in your mouth, chew it, and allow it, don't drink milk right away, allow it to develop its heat and its flavor.
What if I break
and then when you're ready, we'll have a little bread. No, you won't. So let's do that now.
Because you always think they're so hard.
Nah, not
really.
But
I know in sauces, when you make a pepper sauce, they seem to soften up. I mean, the green ones are always soft.
Yeah, they could be. Actually, you could soak them. So if you notice that there's not much. I mean, there's a pepper. Eventually, it develops a pepper flavor. But
until I cracked it, though.
Yeah, nothing that really jumps at you in terms of other flavors. What do you think?
Yeah, it's pepper.
Yeah, it's pepper, but and it's
spice,
a straight
no spice range.
No real spice range, and that's why Brazilian pepper is not as desirable. Only because it doesn't really have any kind of real special flavor to it, other than pepper. And also, it started out muddy and developed flavor over time. So we can clean our palates. We have a little bread, a little milk.
I'd say also if you overuse black pepper, it can do that. You know, it's not taste.
Yeah.
Overload, it tastes too commercial or too, I don't know.
Well, if you use too much pepper, it's like using too much salt. I mean, you know, it overpowers everything.
Yeah, more is not better.
More is not better, no, because all you're trying to do with seasoning is to improve the flavor of the main food, not to substitute the flavor of the main food. So more of anything may not be good. This next one I have is Vietnamese. I'll hand you the bag.
Tell you what, though, I'm still getting still a little tingle afterwards.
Yeah, you could take a little bread. try to get rid of that tingle. You're going to have it for the rest of the day, though.
So. Yeah, well, I'd say don't eat too much pepper because it can be an irritant. You overload it.
Oh, absolutely. Now, this one we're about to try is Vietnamese black peppercorn. Vietnam happens to be the country that exports the most pepper for commercial use.
Right, so this is probably what we're getting when we buy.
Well, if you go to Restaurant Depot, yeah. you're getting yeah. Vietnamese black pepper. Now, there's an initial sweet brightness to it, and it develops, again, peppery. If you recall, the Brazilian had a little bit of a muddy beginning to it. This one's got more of a brightness. What do you think?
Oh, no, I'm getting something else now. Once I get in the center of it.
Yeah, you can see that it's a step up from Brazil.
Get like popcorn or something. It reminds me of salt. I mean, maybe that's why we did butter, salt and pepper popcorn, but yeah.
All pepper, black pepper, develops more hot, develops like a hotness the more it lingers in your mouth. You're releasing the pepperine.
Yeah.
But this particular pepper had the initial pepper flavor early on, whereas the Brazilian
took a
little while.
Yeah.
So that's Lampong. Vietnamese black pepper. By the way, they export something like 20,000 metric tons worldwide a year. So they've pretty much flooded the pepper market, and pepper does not have doesn't have the premium price it used to because of that. The only way you people will get a better or premium price for pepper is if you have one particular pepper from a certain area which is more desirable. As we're finding out now, all pepper isn't the same.
Yeah, it's funny because in Vietnam, it's not really used much as a seasoning either in the cuisine.
Yeah, they export almost all of it.
They use it all. You were saying that allspice in Guatemala.
Nobody in Guatemala uses allspice, but it seems it's the single largest producer.
But in the islands there, it's heavily used Caribbean cooking.
Jamaica.
Yeah,
they grow allspice as well, but Jamaica is like India in terms of growth and how much they keep. So India grows quite a bit more black pepper than it exports because the population uses it. The same with allspice in Jamaica.
Yeah,
so not a lot gets out through export. Now this next one, I guess you got to clean your palate. And if you want, we have mozzarella sticks, too. That might also help.
Oh, yeah. Just a spread it around a little bit, right?
Now, this next one is my favorite. This is Lampong black peppercorn. Lampong is an area in Indonesia. And you'll notice that the corns are quite a bit smaller. So they're not as impressive as, say, the Vietnamese in size, or the telecherry. But now you'll see the difference in brightness. And there's another flavor in there. At least I perceive another flavor right up front. And I think it gets hotter faster.
Definitely hotter.
Yep.
Oh, boy, that comes through right away.
This is actually what I saw a lot of, the Lampong black pepper.
That's the one.
Yeah, if a restaurant is interested in the flavor of the spices they buy, they'll buy the Lampong from me. If the restaurant's interested in keeping the cost down, they'll buy the Vietnamese. But you can see it's getting hotter and hotter. Actually, more than the Vietnamese did.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, because a lot of restaurants, and I've worked, you know, with fancier ones, obviously, where they, you know, when you bring, especially salad, bring the salad to you, would you like some cracked pepper on your salad?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, give me a chance to taste it first. But I guess if you put pepper in a salad dressing, it's going to be different than grating it on at the end.
When you freshly grate black pepper, it has its greatest impact. That's why biting in the peppercorn is so strong.
I know. Well, I figured that. I figured it was going to be, but yeah, it's and then white pepper. Generally, usually white pepper comes off hotter than black pepper.
Piperine. Actually, I don't agree with that. White pepper tends to be a little more earthier, and maybe a little bit more subtle. The black pepper, the outer skin, the black skin, has quite a bit of the piperine in it,
mm-hmm.
It has additional flavor components that you don't find in white pepper. But we'll be tasting the white pepper.
That's funny, because it's because LaRousse, which is my Bible, the encyclopedia, said that the white pepper was not as hot. And then I see other things, again, of course, you know, on the interweb, and some people say, oh, the white pepper's hotter. But I wonder if that's because it's usually finer. Maybe a teaspoon of white pepper ground is different than a coarse ground, like
that,
kosher
yeah.
salt and regular salt. So maybe from experience, because I know we like, we like the white pepper for appearance.
Yes,
but I always
sauces.
Felt that the black has a little more of the spice, that not necessarily the heat, but the spice that I want from pepper.
Yep.
And oftentimes, I'll put it in there, you know, I say, you know what? I'm not doing it for a photo. I'm doing it for flavor. So even in a white sauce or something, if I feel that the black pepper is better, I'll use that because...
typically, I guess the dogma is that, like, for instance, if you're going to make a bechamel, then
yes.
you use a white pepper because you want the final product to be white.
But
if you finely grind black pepper enough, they call it a chef's grind, very fine.
Okay, chef's, yeah, that's what generally we use in our recipes. And then there's a butcher's grind.
Butcher, there's a cafe grind, also known as a restaurant grind, which is the next lowest from butcher. Actually, one higher from butcher is called cracked.
Yes.
So you have cracked as the biggest, followed by butcher, followed by cafe or restaurant, followed by table grind, followed by the finest, which is chef grind.
Okay, table grind. Yeah, because I know we do cracked peppercorns, of course, and the best way out there, anybody that's tried to do this, when they bounce all over the place, you use a clean kitchen towel, nothing too fluffy,
yep.
and it's a nice either a sautoir or a saucepan.
Yeah.
A knife is tough. Mm-hmm. I like to roll.
Oh, I see.
Like a 9-inch frying pan, a good, you know, heavy one, not a flimsy nonstick, but something, a good steel or aluminum, and just kind of roll it like this.
That'll do it.
And you can see them all. Yeah, a nice white towel, and then you can kind of scoop them up and pour them. But if you try to do it just on a cutting board, you know, they're popping all over the place.
Yeah, if you're really fancy about it, you can get a kitchen mortar and pestle. And
mortar
just
pestle's the other way,
give it like
yes.
a one whack. Mm-hmm. You know, don't grind it, just one whack.
Yeah, so we used to, I mean, the spice mills are always good, but I found for cracking the pepper, the spice mills, you tend to, everything eventually turns too fine. You don't, some are unground and then some are too fine. I think cracking them, and, you know, we'll do that just before using. And oftentimes we'll combine them. We'll do if we're coating the food with black pepper, cracked, and then the sauce we'll make with the green. Because the green peppercorn, you can actually puree if you want to.
Yep.
Because it's soft.
Yeah, you can actually take the dried green peppercorn, and some recommend that you put them in water and let them hydrate.
Rehydrate.
Yep.
Yeah, we buy the ones we buy are in brine already. So
yeah, you could buy them either way. This next one now is supposedly the gold standard in commercial pepper. These are Malabar pepper of unusually large size, so they're given the designation telecherry. Now, some people believe telecherry is a kind of pepper in India, but it's not. What telecherry means is that the corns itself are larger than 4.25 millimeters, or they don't use millimeters, they call it pinhead. So if it's larger than 4.25 pinhead.
The person standing there measuring
yeah.
it.
Yeah, he's a pinhead, I guess. but you can see that they are quite large, these. And one of the other things is they allow this to develop on the vine longer and ripen, and then they heat treat it and dry it so it turns black. And this is supposedly sweeter because any kind of fruit that you allow to ripen longer sure. on the vine is going to develop sugars. So I'm going to try this. And there is a different flavor I taste in there too.
Yeah, this has more of the spicy, the spice aromas, what we're going to call it, but not.
Here comes
the heat. As I was saying, the heat very.
Oh, it's going to come.
It was delayed in this one.
Also, I get tastes of maybe sweet spices, maybe a little allspice in there, or that initially comes on, but yeah. Now I can start tasting the heat too.
Yeah, but you can see where this would go into the Pfeffernuss or Pfefferkuchen. The German, it's like a spice cake, but you'd see where they would go in there.
Yeah.
Like pepper in a cake.
But these particular peppercorns, the telecherry, represent about 10% of the crop every year. They're all Malabar black pepper.
Okay.
These are just the big Malabar black pepper called telecherry. Now, when they get bigger than 4.75 millimeters, they're called extra bold, and they cost even more.
And that doesn't mean they're hotter; it means they're
bigger. They probably not hotter, but they might have more sweetness in them. So that's what happens. They pick like 90% of the crop, and they make all the other peppercorns, but they leave some on to get bigger and develop. And then some of those are. Dried, heated, and then mm-hmm. dried to turn them black. And some of those are not heated; they're just dried straight up, and that keeps them red.
Yes, so. That's the like coffee berries are red.
People yeah,
saw a coffee berry like that.
You wouldn't recognize it. Yeah, it's coffee, right? But you can see there are other flavors in there.
And I think of like fresh herbs are for finishing, and you can see where black pepper, even though it's dried, is a good finishing seasoning, meaning the closer you grate it on there to when you're eating it,
yep.
the more benefit you're getting from the flavor.
The yeah. Now, the other thing about these specialty peppers, if you're going to make a very bold dish, you're probably not going to notice the difference between all these different peppers. But if you're making certain dishes that have a very delicate flavor to them, then you'll get a difference.
Well, I think of pasta dishes. I mean, yeah, there's obvious poivrade sauce and peppercorn for steak. But think of, the cacio e pepe, which is kind of a lighter version of a carbonara. Really,
mm-hmm.
It's just basically water and cheese and black pepper for the pasta. And you kind of make the sauce with the cheese and the...
sort of like an Alfredo, almost.
Yeah, but not really.
Well, the cream?
No butter. People put butter in, they say that's really a no-no. Cacio e pepe is, you have some of the pasta water, which gives you some starch, and then the grated cheese, but fresh black pepper. Carbonara is the other one, and that's richer. I mean, they have the pancetta or the guanciale, some pork product, and they're a cured pork product, which also uses pepper. And... I used to love carbonara. That would be breakfast pasta, but breakfast meaning at the end of the night.
Right.
It's like you're bacon and eggs, right, or ham and eggs and pork and eggs. And you use whole eggs, so you make a batter with the grated cheese and toss the pasta with that, with some of the water. Have to be careful of temperature because you don't want the eggs to curdle. But again, it looks kind of like an Alfredo. But then that fresh slew of black pepper the carbonara. Apparently, the name came from charcoal burners. It was like the coal dust was. That's what the pepper symbolizes. Well, I'm great about it. Pasta is an Italian food. There's always a story on what inspired, whether it's the shape of the pasta or the name
that's
of the
true.
Sauce. You know, yeah. It's great because you read it. Oh, that's pretty cool. So that was that's one, and they say that's a relatively recent introduction to Italian. Well, obviously the tomato was late going there, but even after this, one source said the GIs there. Of course, we had plenty of bacon and eggs, so that's kind of how this might have come about. The introduction of having those together with, of course, the Italian people would put it in pasta and make a great thing out of it. The amatriciana is another one with the tomatoes. Roman dish and cheese, and then that you could use either chilies or a good grinding of black pepper. So, I mean, three pasta mm-hmm. dishes right there where black pepper can be the star.
Now, this last one is sort of a specialty black pepper, and it's known as Kampot black pepper. It's from Cambodia. Cambodia was, at one time, you remember, when the Khmer Rouge took over, and they were communist, and what they did was they took all of their the farms and forced them to grow rice to feed the people. But prior to the Khmer Rouge taking over, there was a certain amount of pepper farms that the French who occupied Cambodia,
okay.
French Indochina, used to import to France. And a lot of the high-end restaurants in France, before the Khmer Rouge came in, were using this Kampot black pepper, which was used to top on top of things like salads. Mm. It wasn't used to make sauces or on meats. It was for very delicate things. Now, supposedly,
it's mild.
It's going to be more mild. It's going to be a little floral, supposedly. So you tell me what you think. I'm going to pop some in my mouth now.
Yeah, I just chomped one up here. Yeah, it's not overpowering as far as the heat goes. It took a while for things to come through. But you can see, yes, that would be a good seasoning.
It's a nice finishing pepper.
Too much blast, yeah.
And you can see that the heat comes on slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's that characteristic initial black pepper flavor. It's stronger than it was in the others. But this is a, and it lingers too. This is considered one of the more desirable boutique black peppers in the market, and it's really not cheap. But even in wholesale, it can be quite costly.
So I guess for home use, probably if you really like your black pepper, you would invest in something like this.
Exactly. This is going to be more for someone who is particularly interested in the flavor of lighter foods. So that's where this comes in. You'll also notice that some of the finer restaurants that might use this. I have one customer for it.
I see Malabar mentioned on menus once in a while.
Malabar, it's the Indian. The telecherry we had is Malabar. It's just a big Malabar berry. So that's it for black pepper. You can see that there is differences. I don't know if you want to pop one Brazilian back in your mouth just to compare it to what we've had.
Oh, you really want on?
Well, we can move on to white pepper.
Yes, I saved one of the... Let's go to white pepper. I saved the best.
Okay.
So
when it comes to white pepper, I have two. The first is going to be from Vietnam, since they make the most pepper, black and white pepper.
And this, you said, this is the black pepper with the...
What they do to make white pepper is they take the peppercorns while they're ripe, and they boil them. And so what happens is... They boil it, they filter that, and then they put it in water, room temperature or temperature of stream water, and they let them soak for about a week and a half. And that loosens up the outer skin. And so that black outer skin or red outer skin will fall off, exposing the inner core, which is white. So black peppercorns, if you sliced one, you'll see a white inner core and with a black skin. Now this is the white Vietnamese. Tell me what you think in terms of the spiciness.
I mean, it's there. I got it more on the back of my throat, but up front, it was not as didn't seem as spicy as the other ones.
Yeah, it's not, and I would say that it's maybe a little bit more earthy, if you're going to describe it. It has the piperine. It's slow, but it comes up. I would say that it's not as strong as some of the other ones. Some of the other ones, your mouth is burning. But this is the Vietnamese, which again, it'll give you that hotness, but it's made principally because certain dishes require that you don't see black specks in it. And so you would use white
peppercorns. It really is more for aesthetics than
aesthetics.
For flavor. Yeah.
It's not flavor, but it will give you that hot pepper flavor without the other flavors that the skin provides.
This is what I call a spice, yeah. Well, I know what our blackening, Cajun seasoning, we use, there's cayenne there, obviously, but and black and white. And predominantly just, you always have the three in there. Interesting, because down the cayenne would be the indigenous pepper to that area.
Chili,
anyway.
It's a chili.
Yes, and then you have your black and your white. And I guess you think, well, you know, why do that? But there must be a reason. Some things I don't question. I just know that if it tastes good and it works, I mean, the Westerners, we always try to figure out what's the reason, what's the science, what's the effect. But using black and white pepper together.
Well, you know, speaking of appearances, people will recommend that you use white pepper if you're going to season fish with a very white meat or chicken in some cases. So it really it provides, like you were saying earlier, an aesthetic benefit in terms of flavor. It provides more of the heat rather than the bounty of flavor. So like the telecherry and the campot has other things in there that you won't find in the white pepper.
But I think of I've had peppered smoked fish, though, mackerel, especially something fatty like that, smoked trout. There's a pastrami salmon, smoked salmon out there, and pastrami. I mean, that's the main thing on that. The cure
pepper.
On the outside is that black pepper crust.
Mortadella
I've
has
had
peppercorn.
Country hams from the south, the real dried hams with, I mean.
Crusted with pepper.
Yes, and you have to soak them before you cook them. You put them in water, and the water turns black.
It's like a sponge, too,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, you're getting all that pepper off of there, and then and of course it's helping to cook the ham, and then you skin the fat off and glaze it, but.
So this next one is Sarawak white pepper, and supposedly Sarawak white pepper. It's from Malaysia, Borneo, and it's considered the prime white pepper. So if you take a couple, you can compare it to the Vietnamese and tell me what you think. It has an initial interesting flavor. I'm not sure how I would describe it, though. Stronger than the Vietnamese.
Right away.
Yep. It's, some describe it as a licorice or.
All right, now I crushed a second, yeah.
You notice it's got a flavor. A profile than the Vietnamese. So you would pay more for the Sarawak pepper.
Yes, I wonder. So, and in our steak seasoning, there's black, white, red pepper, and fennel, and of course dry mustard. There's some more heat coming there, and salt.
Some.
But you can see now, Boy, that's reminding me of a Jake's steak right now. That little licorice thing from, like, we get it from the fennel.
Yeah, it's actually, it's unless you actually taste it, you have really, it's hard to believe that there's differences. But there are. And the other thing about good spices, if you use the better quality spices, you don't need to use as much. So, you know, you might go through 5 pounds of Brazilian when a pound of Lampang will do just the same thing.
Well, you've got to be careful, though. With quantity recipes, if you switch up. I mean, I know
you'd have to,
in our operations, when you make a change like that, but who would have thought that, in other words, if I started, you know, I quit buying black pepper from a distributor and bought yours, and it was a certain kind, it might be, I'm going to have to adjust my recipes.
Well, you might have to, but I haven't had a complaint yet.
Okay.
So
we've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we're back at the table tasting black pepper.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-01.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at the table, winding down here. Yeah, Pete, you were right. We're not gonna get all this done. We'll have to do the pepper substitutes another time. I think we're working our way through here. But just tasting these differences here is—I would have never thought.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sometimes you think, it's just a marketing ploy or something like that. But
there's a difference. Yeah. Now, this last white pepper is Kampot white pepper. It's from Cambodia, just like the Kampot black pepper. It's a boutique-y type of pepper, so we'll see what you think. I think it's a little stronger than the Sarawak. I'm not sure, though. It's got that initial earthy flavor to it. Sort of...
The heat's slow and coming.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little more bitterness than the other one, though.
Is it? Is that what it could be? That.
But which would, and that would probably explain why. I mean, salt counteracts bitter. when you're trying to fix a recipe. I mean, always people think sweet and bitter, but then you end up with bittersweet, but really salt.
Salt
and I think
bitter.
that's why protein, you know, most proteins are bitter, and that's why salt works on them.
Oh.
You know, but the with the pepper, yeah, this one definitely had a little, I thought a little more bitterness up front. Pleasant bitterness, not
yeah,
bad.
It's, but yeah, this, again,
and
this
now
is
the heat's going to catch.
Yeah, there it goes. Yeah. The boutique-y type of black pepper, white pepper, you know, the campot. Back in the 50s, the French restaurants, this was all the rage.
Okay.
And any self-respecting high-end French restaurant had their campot black pepper that they would finish certain dishes off with. But you can see that there is a slight difference, but it's distinctive. So that's it for black and white pepper. Those are the there's two others that are from Piper Nigrum. We have green pepper, which is picked from the vine before
it's ripe,
begins
before
to
it's
ripe.
Red. Yeah, and those are the ones you usually find those in brine or in vinegar.
That's right.
And you know, and they're, I say we like them in sauces because they're softer for people. I know sometimes if people grind pepper and the grind is too coarse, and they have a crown or something. I mean, I know I had, you know, you can get an issue with that.
I got any peppercorns that had a distinctive hardness to them. They were pretty, you know.
I was surprised. I was thinking, oh, you know, because I was first cooking, of course. He was thinking, oh, grinding pepper. I had to grind a bunch of pepper. And, of course, you have a big meat grinder, right, with the knife in it and stuff. And I was like, oh, I'll just put them through here. And what ended up happening is it cracked the housing on the pepper. It was not the right substance to put through a meat grinder. So I learned that.
So green pepper, yeah, you can buy them brined, or you can take the dried ones
you
and rehydrate
dried,
them.
Okay.
So that's what a lot of people who buy green pepper
still softer
from me do.
Right away.
They're going to be softer and not as sweet. And they tend to be like a little hollow.
Yeah. And again, I guess when you're using the sauce, whether puree them or not, we leave them whole, but some chefs will actually puree them. Into
yeah,
the sauce,
you can do that.
Spread it around the book. But, you know, it's just a good flavor. But I can see where you could use both together.
Notice that you do get the heat.
Yeah.
But you don't get the advanced flavors.
Well, it's not going to be as nice.
That's right?
Right.
And not as sweet.
Right. Well, we're going to have to, we've got to sign off here. We're going to come back in a couple of weeks with the pepper substitutes because, there's a barbecue and grilling coming up. We've got to, and maybe Pete will
we can try,
do
yeah.
some rubs or something, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for your, as always, for your scientific knowledge and your sources. And we'll see everybody down the road.
Absolutely.
Have a good
I had a lot of
day
fun.
Weekend.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Department of Justice will investigate if the FBI spied on President Trump's presidential campaign for political purposes, the president making the demand that the DOJ look into whether the FBI, quote, infiltrated or surveilled the Trump campaign. The DOJ asking its inspector general to look into the issue now. Incoming National Rifle Association President Oliver North says he and the NRA want to make sure that kids are protected in America without taking away the rights of law-abiding citizens. He weighs in after Friday's massacre at a high school in Santa Fe, Texas.
We're trying like the Dickens to treat the symptom without treating the disease. And the disease in this case isn't the Second Amendment. The disease is youngsters who are steeped in a culture of violence. They've been